I want us to open the Word of God together tonight. We're reading in the book of Proverbs, and we're commencing to read. We'll read for a scripture reading. We'll read in Proverbs chapter number 1, first chapter of the book of Proverbs, and commencing to read at the verse number 20. Follow us in the reading of God's truth. That's Proverbs chapter 1, and reading at verse number 20. Let's follow the reading of God's Word. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And then turn in that same book to the book of Proverbs chapter 29, and the opening verse, and this is what it says. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal God, gracious Heavenly Father, thou knowest the solemnity of this moment, the final night of a gospel crusade. We thank thee, O God, for what thou hast done for the souls that thou hast saved in this mission. We thank thee for those that thou hast restored, for thy blessing upon us. And Lord, we just return thee thanks. But O God, realize that this is the final night. And Lord, the marquee will be coming down in the morning. And O God, men and women will shortly be going away, never to come into another crusade on this spot at this time. O my God, I pray in Jesus' name that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt speak to the hearts of those that are gathered here. I pray that thou wilt help me tonight to be faithful in the proclamation of thy word. O God, I pray that thou wilt follow hard after those that are still without thee. And for those that have wandered, O God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt soften them in thy presence, and Lord, restore them unto their first love. Hear and answer our prayer, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. The book of Proverbs, as is the Holy Scripture in total, it is a book of counsel. We have in the book of Proverbs some pithy little statements, but they have tremendous profound meanings and have a tremendous application for our daily lives. The Word of God is pure wisdom. And of course, God's wisdom here is speaking to our hearts. And you and I know that when it comes to eternal things, then there is no other book that you and I can turn to but than the Word of God to find out what God has got to say. Because as far as eternity is concerned and what lies beyond this life, my friend, man's opinions do not count. But it is important to know what saith the Lord. Because whenever Elisha came to King Ahab, he said, I have a message from God for you. And my friend, that's what counts tonight. It is what God has got to say about the things which are eternal. And the Word of God is the final arbiter. the final say concerning the issues of life and death and eternity. Night after night in this gospel mission, we have sought to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim that Christ is the answer. He's the only answer for the need of your soul. Because, friend, if you have everything else in the world and you haven't Christ, then you have nothing. You have nothing for the journey that you will certainly take, the journey from time into eternity. Because Jesus Christ alone is the Savior of the soul. Now, the Bible tells us that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. God's word is like Christ is. God's word is light. And thank God in Him there is no darkness at all. And every night we've been seeking to bring the light of the gospel and proclaim the light of the gospel to your hearts in this meeting earnestly and with a fervent spirit and from the depths of our very being. But you know, friend, it is possible for men and women to sin against light. And is it not true, not only is it possible, but there are many sitting in the service tonight, and you have heard the gospel perhaps from your youngest day, and you're still without the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day you've lived, my friend, every day that God has given you breath and you've risen up in the morning and you've lived another day, every day you've lived and you've sinned against the light of the Word of God. And friends, you know, whenever you do that, you sin against light and you sin against light and you sin against light, there comes a time when the light will mean nothing to you. And now, what an awful tragedy that it is possible for those in this meeting to have known the truth of God's word, and the light of God's word has shone into your heart, and yet, friend, you're going out into the darkness of a lost eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a book of counsel, and you know, over and over again, you'll find these words. If you look at the book of Proverbs, just for a moment, go to chapter number 1. It says there in verse 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Look at verse 15, "My son, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." Chapter 2, "My son," verse 1, "if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understand." Chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law." And chapter 4, verse 1, "hear my children." Chapter 5, verse 1, "my son, attend unto my wisdom." Chapter 6, "my son." So what we have here is this. We have a father who is giving advice to a son. He's pleading. He's begging his son to listen to the instruction that is given here. And he does it with a broken heart. Chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this word, "Wisdom crieth without." It crieth. Wisdom has a broken heart. And this is pure wisdom, friend. And here's a father, and with a broken heart, he's looking into the face of his wayward child. And he's crying. He says, my son, listen to what I've got to say. And my friend, today, let me tell you, tonight in this meeting, the God that has created you, the God that made you in your mother's womb, the God that has given you life, and the God that has given you breath, there's a cry from the heart of God, "My child, I made you, and I love you, and I gave my son for you to die upon the cross of Calvary." Listen to the instruction. Listen to what I have to say. I was thinking about a father in the scriptures as a prodigal's father. And I have no doubt whatsoever that the prodigal son, his father with a broken heart, looked into the face of his son. And the boy decided to leave. Father, he took all that the father had got to give him. And then he turned his back on his father and he walked away from home. And he walked away from his love, the father's love. And he walked out into the world. Yes, it's greener out there. Am I what I want is out there. And let me tell you, my friend, he got what he wanted. And then he came one day that after he had spent everything and he had nothing left, nobody wanted him. He found out the world didn't care about him. Yes, as long as he was able to give, they wanted him. But when he came to the end of his resources, they didn't want him anymore. And he thought, and for the first time as he sat there in his loneliness with a broken heart, he could see the face of his father that day whenever he begged his son not to go away and turn away from his love. But he walked away unconcerned. See, friend, all he could see was the glitter. All he could see was the tinsel. And isn't that what the devil wants to show you tonight? He show you the tinsel that he's got to offer in the world. He wants to show you my all that there is, and the baubles of the world, and the things of the world, and the laughter, and the song of the world. And I'll tell you about the hell that will come at the end of it. I'll tell you about the damnation that you're going to face in the Christless and lost eternity. The father begged his son, and then thank God, out there in the midst of nowhere, as it were, coming to the end of the resources, he remembered the pleading of his father. And he said, how many hired servants of my father, have bread and enough and to spare. And he says, I perish with hunger. What am I going to do? Friend, he said, I'll arise and I'll go to my father. I ask you tonight, friend, this final night of this mission, is it not time you got up and went to God? Is it not time you went to your Heavenly Father and cried out for God to forgive you for your sin, to forgive you for your wandering backslider, to forgive you for your sin against light? You're still going on your own way, taking your own road. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and thank God he did. And he found out his father didn't stop loving him. He found out the father cared for him all the time. And even whenever he wasn't thinking about his father, the father was thinking about him all the time. And thank God he came home. He came home. He was warned. I have no doubt whatsoever that his father cried as his son was leaving that day. But he still went on. He still went on to have his own way. And I pray tonight before God tonight, I pray God that God will break your heart over your sin. God will break your heart. That you come to the place tonight that you'll cry out to God, I'm tired. I'm tired of my sin. Oh God, I've wasted so many precious years. But God, now I'm coming home. And I repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. What's he say here? In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1, says this: he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want us to listen to this, friend. I want you to listen to this, because God's got a word for you. And this is solemn. And this final night of this gospel crusade on Mullaghboy Hill, you're not here by chance, my friend. Here's a word from God. And I want you to listen to it. Oh, Spirit of God, make it real. Make it real. Don't let men and women sit like putty in the seat. Don't let them sit like a rod of iron in rebellion and sin against you. But God break them. Because here's a solemn warning. And I want us to take this verse, friend, very simply. Listen. Notice first of all the personality here. The very first word, he. he that being often reproved. You see, friend, when it comes to the state of the salvation of a soul, it's a personal thing. The Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry, there were the days of his popularity, whenever the multitudes followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it came to the salvation of a soul, friend, they weren't saved in multitudes, individually. There had to be a personal dealing with each individual soul. And God deals with individual men and women. And your relationship with God tonight, your relationship with God is a very personal thing. You remember what Jesus said in Mark's Gospel chapter 8? What shall it profit a man? Didn't say, what shall it profit man? A man. You see, he's talking to the individual. He's talking about the individual. He said, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let me tell you, my friend, maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you're thinking about others. You're thinking about what others are thinking, what others would say. Let me tell you, listen, whenever you go to God's eternity, others will not be there. You'll be before God and dealing with God alone. Alone. It's your soul. It's your soul. It's your soul that's precious. What should it profit a man, if he should gain the whole world? Remember Nicodemus. Nicodemus, let me tell you, there were many people there that were in Jerusalem at that time. But Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he came by night, friend, a lonely figure. Yes, he was a religious man. He had thought to this moment that he was all right. But he comes to Jesus Christ, and Jesus looks into the face of Nicodemus, and he said this, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And then he goes on to say, marvel not that I said unto you. Why did he say that? Because Nicodemus was surprised. Nicodemus thought he was all right. Nicodemus was a good Jew. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a man that was religious. Nicodemus, he tithed. Nicodemus, he fasted. He did all of these religious things. And yet Jesus looked at Nicodemus and he said, Nicodemus, yes, I'm talking to you. Friend, I want the God, the Holy Ghost, friend. I want the Spirit of God to speak to you. To speak to every individual unconverted person in this meeting tonight. Oh, that God will challenge you, my friend. That you will feel there's no one else in this meeting but you. That's what needs to happen. We need men and women to be conscious of their relationship with God. Forget about others. They'll take you to hell. They'll laugh you to hell. They'll never laugh you out of it. May the Spirit of God speak to you tonight. Every individual person is without Christ. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, yes, I'm talking to you. Ye must. Ye must. And I say to you tonight, ye must be born again. You must. It's not you might. You must. That's what Jesus said. In the 5th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, down there at the pool of Bethesda, the Bible tells us there was a multitude of people there. There was a multitude of impotent folk. They were blind, they were halt, they were withered, and they were all waiting for the moving of the waters. And then it says this, and a certain man was there. And then it says this, and Jesus saw him. Notice it didn't say he saw them. It said he saw him. I want to tell you tonight. I know there's a crowd of people gathered in this tent tonight, but I can tell you, Jesus sees you. You. And he's looking into your heart tonight. And don't tell me about somebody else that's sitting about you. My friend, don't hide behind somebody else. Listen, there's no hiding place from God. And you'll not be able to hide from God tonight. And the Bible says, and Jesus saw him. Thank God he called him. He called him. Do you remember the crowd when the Lord Jesus Christ was making his way through Jericho? And there were a crowd of people that were around the Lord Jesus Christ. He was on that journey. He was making his way to Jerusalem to die upon the cross of Calvary. But there's a crowd of people were gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus passed through Jericho. And then the Lord Jesus stopped. He didn't look at the crowd. Jesus looked up. And there's a wee man hiding up there in the tree, friend. He desired to see Jesus, who he was. Yes, he had heard about him. But he desired to see Jesus, who he was. And Jesus stopped underneath that tree, friend. Not looking at the crowd, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. And I tell you tonight, whatever your name is, put your name in it. And I tell you, the Lord's saying to you, sinner, come down. Come down out of the tree of your pride. Maybe you think you're too good to be saved. Maybe you think you're good enough. Maybe you think you're too religious to be saved. Maybe you think, my friend, that salvation for somebody else, but not for you. And Jesus says, come down. Humble yourself. But can I tell you, you can keep your pride and go to hell. Yes, you can. You can keep it, friend. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. He called him personally. As if there was not another person there. Jesus stopped with him. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ came to the burial place where Lazarus was? And when the Lord Jesus Christ stepped there at the tomb of Lazarus, he said this word. He says, Lazarus, come forth. You see, if the Lord Jesus had just said, come forth, all the graves would open. But he'd come for him. Lazarus, he says, come forth. And I want to tell you, there are many, many people in the thank God in this tent tonight. But listen, you're hearing the word of God. But your salvation, it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mom, you can't trust Christ for your family. Dad, you can't trust Christ for your son. It's a personal relationship. Your son has got to come to Jesus personally, acknowledging his sin, his lostness, his hellishness before God. Yes, he. Pilate looked at the crowd one day. The Lord Jesus Christ was there before him. He was facing the greatest decision of his life, and he looked out to the crowd and he said this, what shall I do? Tell me, what shall I do? But notice he didn't say, what shall you do? He says, what shall I do? Because you see, friend, Pilate realized the decision was his. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And as you're sitting in this meeting tonight, I want you to ask that question right now to your soul. What shall I do then with Jesus? What am I going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? For I'm going to give you this answer. You will do something. You will do something tonight. You will accept or you will reject, but you will do something. And before you go out through that door, friend of this, and leave this marquee behind, and go out into that night, and have God spared you to get into your car and go to your home, you will make a decision. You're standing at a crossroads tonight, and on your way to hell, God's put this tent in your pathway. And God's put this preaching in your pathway. And you make a decision. And it's an eternal decision. It's either heaven or hell. And it's all about Jesus. Because he's the only Savior. He's the only one that can deliver you from your sin. Here's the personality. He. God came. The voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The voice of the Lord came walking in the garden, and Adam and Eve were in that garden. But notice God didn't say, come on, Adam and Eve, I want to talk to you. No, he didn't. He says, Adam, where art thou? And then he turned to Eve and he says, Eve, what is this that thou hast done? He talked to them personally. And God's here to talk to you personally. And friend, there's no hiding place. Because you're confronted with God tonight. And in the last night of a mission, the last night of a mission, on a hill where I'm preaching a last tent mission as the minister of this congregation. And the Lord's coming personally, asking you this question. Where art thou? Where do you stand with God tonight? Forget about others. Forget about others. Where do you stand with God tonight? He. That's personality. Pilate asked the crowd, but Pilate had to answer it. And you may ask the crowd tonight. You may ask your family, well, what should I do? Listen, friend, listen. But you have got to make a decision. Personality. Secondly, notice the privilege. He that being often reproved. And that is a privilege. Do you know there are men and women tonight that are going to hell and they've never had the privilege of hearing what you have heard in this gospel mission? They've never walked perhaps through a mission door. There's multitudes who have gone to church today and nobody has told them they need to be saved. Nobody has told them except a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And they're traveling on to eternity. But friend, you can't say you don't know because you're hearing it again. How many times have you heard before that the Savior stands outside your door? And you've been warned, and God has reproved you. He's called you to Himself. He's spoken to the depths of your soul, and you realize that you need to be saved. He calls in love and in mercy and in grace. Friend, He's not offering to hurt you. He's offering to save you. He's offering to pardon you. He's offering to forgive you your sin. What more could God offer you? He's offering you peace with God through the blood of the Savior's cross. But God commendeth His love towards us. He's not saying, sinner, I hate you. He's saying, sinner, I love you. I love you. God commends His love towards you. And that's the tragedy, that men and women are rejecting the love of God. They are trampling underfoot the love of God. There's nothing that hurts a father or a mother more than their children reject their love. It breaks their heart. Tell me, friend, how does the heart of God feel? God commends His love toward you in that while you are at sinners, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save you. Not to damn you, to save you. To save you from your sin. To save you from the torments of hell. To save you from the wrath which will fall upon those who reject God's mercy and God's grace. He comes to bring you to Himself. And therefore God reproves you. God has got to show you your problem. And then the answer to it. And your problem is sin. And your sin separates between you and God, friend. But thank God, there's an answer for your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. If you were here on Friday night, we preached upon the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from the darkest, deepest sin that ever stained your soul. God reproves you. Sometimes God reproves men through sickness. Do you remember Naaman in the scriptures? It wasn't until Naaman realized that he was a leper. And my, whenever he saw that mark, that little white mark over his body, and realized that he had got the disease of leprosy. And then he was concerned. It wasn't until then that he needed healing. And then through that little girl's testimony to go to the man of God and to do what God said. But friend, had sickness never touched Naaman, he'd never been healed. He'd never have gone to God. Tell me, what will God have to do, friend, to get your ear? What will God have to do? Not only sickness, sorrow. Sometimes God has reproved men and women because, let me tell you, they won't listen. And then they stand at the side of a coffin, they look into the face of a loved one, a mother, a father, a son, a daughter. And they realize just how brief life is. Then after this, the judgment. And friend, you walk down that road and you follow that hearse and you come to the side of the grave and you watch that coffin lower down into the ground and you hear the thud of the clay. And as you hear the sound of that thud, you realize, if that had been me, I'd be in hell. But friend, let me tell you, it can be thee. Because it's appointed unto men once to die. And God has an appointment, and let me tell you, you don't know when it is, but I tell you, it's in the book. There's a day appointed for your birth, there's a day appointed for your death, and let me tell you, you'll meet the appointment which God has made. And sometimes God has to reprove through sorrow, break your heart, to break your stubborn will. Sometimes God uses his saints. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and listen, God has used the words of a Sunday school teacher. God has used the words of a loved one. Maybe the prayers of a mother. I remember as a child sitting outside my mother's bedroom. I'll never forget it. My mother didn't pray in. My mother always prayed out. And I sat outside my mother's bedroom and I heard my mother pray. And I heard her pray for me. And I'm going to tell you, friend, tonight, there are young men and young women in this service tonight, and let me tell you this here. You're trampling over your prayers of your loved ones on your way to hell. For that mother and that father with a broken heart has cried many a tear before God for the salvation of your soul. And your mother's prayers, she's prayed for you. Maybe it's the servants of the Lord, the preachers of the word above my pulpit there. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's what God put in my heart. Away those years, 40 years ago, whenever we're building this church, the word, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And the word of God said to Ezekiel, son of man, warn them from me. Warn them from me. Tell me, friend, do you think it gives a joy for me as a preacher to stand before a congregation? Look into the eyes of those that I've sought to be with in good days or hard days, and tell you if you die in your sin, you'll go to hell. You think give me joy? No, it breaks my heart. And what an awful thing, friend, if you were to close your eyes in death this night and go out into God's eternity. Let me tell you, this preacher can't bury you in the sure and certain hope. And if your preacher does, let me tell you, he's a liar. Because there's only a sure and certain hope for those that love Jesus, that are ready to meet God. Those who die without Christ, God's word says, they're without hope. And there's no one can put hope into your funeral if you're not saved. Yes, God reproves. God reproves by His Holy Spirit whenever the meetings have been over. You remember walking up the stairs or going into your bedroom, you put your head on the pillow and somehow you were troubled. And you wonder why you were concerned. You thought it was the preacher. Let me tell you, friend, the preacher could do nothing. It was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God speaking to you. The Spirit of God reproving you, rebuking you. Do you think that God should just let you go on in your sin? The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Do you think that God should just let you go on carelessly in your sin and go to hell? No, friend. God has put barriers in your way. And I pray earnestly before God that this night God will put such a barrier that you'll not get over it, but that you'll run to Christ. He that being often reproved. Notice that word, often. Time after time. Meeting after meeting. Service after service. Mission after mission. God has reproved you. You felt the conviction of the Spirit of God. Listen, friend. If you die unsaved, you have no excuse to offer. You can say, McRae stood for 3 weeks in a tent on Mullaghboy Hill and he fooled my soul. He told me I was all right. Just keep on the way I'm going. No, friend, I'm not. I'm telling you clearly tonight, if you're not saved, you're lost. If you're without Christ, where Christ is, you'll never be. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. May God reprove you tonight. But then, listen, thirdly, here's the possibility. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. That's the possibility. You see, man who hears, but then man rejects. Do you remember the first time you heard the gospel, friend? Do you remember the first mission you sat in? God spoke to your heart and it troubled you. You thought the preacher was trying to scare you, friend. Let me tell you this. The preacher couldn't create an anxious thought. I know I have no power. The Spirit of God spoke to you. And maybe, friend, as you sat in that meeting, you were afraid. You were afraid to look around at the end of the meeting. You were afraid to get up of that seat. You were afraid to go through that door. There was a concern on your soul. There was a fear of God upon you. But how many meetings have gone out after? How many sermons have you heard? How many appeals have you sat through? How many gospel invitations to come to Christ has come to your heart? You see, once, friend, your heart was soft. And once your heart was moved, it's not the same anymore. See what's happening, preacher. What the Holy Ghost is saying here. He that being often reproved hardeneth. Hardeneth his neck. Remember Saul of Tarsus? Do you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And there's men and women here tonight. And that's exactly what you've been doing for years, friend. You've been kicking against the pricks. What does it mean, hardeneth his neck? Well, the farmer in Bible times, he would go to the field and he would take the yoke. It was a long plank, a long panel of wood. And what he would do is this, he would put that on the shoulders of the oxen because he was wanting to do the ploughing of a field. And he comes to the oxen and he puts this upon it, but the old oxen remembers, I've had this before and I don't like it. And so the old oxen starts to rebel. And as he tries to put it upon his shoulders, the old oxen turns its head and tries to turn away, rebels against it. Yes, there was a time it was easier to get on, but not now. Stiffens his muscles and sinews against the yoke and tries to walk away. And that's what happens to men and women. And I fear there are people here tonight, and that's exactly what you have done, friend, for years. You have resisted stubbornly, obstinately. You've said, I'll not break. I've not come. I've seen men and women sitting in meetings, and I'll tell you this, they sat on their very hands when the appeal was given because there was an urge to raise their hand to indicate their coming to Christ, and they sat on their very hands obstinately, rebelliously. And God watched the whole thing. God saw it all. And they despised God's merciful appointment, because that's what conviction is, friend. God's merciful appointment with your soul, calling you to repentance and to life. There's a surgeon. He had his first operation. He performed his first operation and the patient died. That surgeon went back home that night. He tossed and he turned, he tossed and he turned, because it troubled him. Could I have done something more? Did I do something wrong? Why did he die? See, after 20 years, there was an operation. Patient dies, yes, it troubles him. Let's be quite honest. Soon gets over it. You know what happens? You get desensitized. Doesn't bother you to see it. And friend, that's a very fearful thing. That men and women could sit in a gospel meeting, hear the challenge of the Word of God, know their need of God's salvation, yet they get up and defiantly and obstinately walk out and turn their back on God. They're not turning it on the preacher. The preacher doesn't count. But they trample the pearls of God's patient pleadings with their soul under their feet. Why, friend? How can they do it? Because God says, he that be often reproved hardeneth his neck. And then it says this, here's the penalty. Shall suddenly be destroyed. Shall suddenly be destroyed. What is that telling us, friend? You see, there's a limit to God's long suffering and to God's pleading. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Remember Noah? God told him to build an ark. 120 years he preached to that people, but they just laughed at him. Thought he was a fool. Until one day God said, Noah, yet 7 days. That's all there's left. 120 years passed. 7 days left. And then God said, Noah, come in. And God shut to the door. And the door that God shuts, no man will open. Oh yes! Whenever the rain started to fall, the people ran to the ark door. They thumped upon it. Noah, open! Open it, Noah! We're sorry. We're sorry. We're so sorry, Noah. Open the door. Noah didn't shut it, friend. Noah couldn't open it. God shut the door. The Bible tells me, if you read the story of Pharaoh, the Bible tells me this, that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it says 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 this, friend, God hardened his heart. God says, that's it. That's it. He that being often reproved, harden of his neck. I want to warn you, sinner, in this meeting tonight. God says Assyria shall suddenly be destroyed. Suddenly. Don't trifle with God, friend. Proverbs 1, we read it tonight. God says, I have called, and ye refused. God says, I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. They sat at naught all my counsel, and they would none of my reproofs. You know what God says? Then shall they call. God says, I'll not answer. Ah yes, let me tell you, friend, if you could only listen in to hell tonight, every last one of them would come to the Lord. Every last one of them would raise their hand to indicate that we're coming to Christ. But it's too late. Shall suddenly be destroyed. Belshazzar had a feast for 1,000 of his lords. He thought he was the big fella. He thought he was the one that was just in control of everything. He took the goblets that were in the house of the Lord and he filled it with wine. And boys, he held it back and they all shouted out, long live the king! Long live the king! And Belshazzar was carried with it. You read the story, friend. The finger of God in the midst of it started writing on the wall. And God said this, I weighed you in the balance, Belshazzar, and you're found wanting. And then it says this, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And then he stood there with a goblet in his hand, and he was the big fella. You know what God says to him? Belshazzar, party's over. Party's over. And I say this lovingly before God tonight, to every last one of you. God has the power to say, party's over, friend. You've lived without me. You have trampled the blood of my son under your feet. You've walked out time after time after time knowing your need of God's salvation. And God says, party's over. Just as the God said to the man in Luke 12, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And friend, God can require your soul tonight. And should a team of doctors be standing around your bed and not save you? But here's the last thought. Here's the promise. And that without remedy. There's no going back. Without remedy. Never again. Never again will that door of opportunity open. And that door is shut. And if a man or woman sins away that day of opportunity, commits that unpardonable sin, blasphemes the Holy Ghost, friend, let me tell you, they could sit in 1,000 meetings. Listen to me carefully. But they're as sure as hell as if they're there. Because God gives them up. God says, you want your sin? You want it? You can have it. And God gave them up. What a tragedy. And all that lies before the sinner, friend, from that moment, is death and judgment and hell. There's no hope. I see you come to the river's edge. When it comes to die, friend, and you stand and are about to plunge into death's waters, the chilling waters of death. I see the great white throne of God's judgment, and I see the Savior seated as a sovereign judge upon the throne. I hear him say, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. I see the arresting angels, and they drag you from the throne. And this is what the Bible says. Cast you into hell. Forever. Eternally lost. I remember preaching on Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit shall not always strive a man. Remember the old tin hut? I remember a young man sitting on the third row down, second seat in, as I preached that message. When the appeal was given, the young lad looked up, and his eyes met mine, and I saw the tears running down his cheeks. But he walked away. A short time after that, on a Saturday night, going out into the world, he met death. And he didn't win the victory. He died. But what about eternity? My brother Cecil Shields was faithful when he was a police officer. He warned, no matter who was an inspector, no matter who it was, Cecil warned them of their need of Jesus. One day he was standing at the barrier. They talked to this lad many times, but he was standing at the barrier, and the lad was going through the barrier station, and this is what he said. He said, "Cecil, if there's a hell, I'll meet you there." Ha 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 ha. That. Our brother Cecil can tell you. He left that station. He went up the road. He changed his gear. He got on his bike. Came down the road and went under a vehicle. And they lifted him dead. And the last words he said was this: "Cecil, if there's a hell, I'll meet you there." And laughed. And don't mock God tonight. How many times he's called before, and yet he stands outside the door, and yet you turn and walk away. Maybe you say some other time, but not today. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Listen. And that without remedy. Maybe I'm talking to you for the last time. Friend, are you ready? Don't let the devil fool you. He has nothing to offer, you know. Yes, there's the pleasures of the world, but they're only for a season. But when they're all over, and you stand before the God of heaven, what then? All be saved as grace is free. All be saved. He died for thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we stand for precious souls at a crossroads. Two ways before them lie, and each a choice will make. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, give deciding grace. Where will you be in eternity, friend? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you be in eternity? Heaven with Christ, or hell without him? You stand at a crossroads. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What's your answer? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in the appeal of this mission, if there's a man or woman, boy or girl, and you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved," maybe you're backslidden. God has brought before your eyes eternal realities tonight. The Spirit of God has put this meeting as a barrier to your soul. You've got to make a decision. Yes, you will do something with Jesus. You will accept or you will reject. But you will do something tonight, just as I am without one plea. And as we sing this little verse of this gospel invitation, friend, may God help you to consider wisely. Make the right decision. Choose Christ. You say, preacher, lead me to Christ, or lead me back to the Lord. Slip that hand above your head as we sing. But I beg you, don't go away. Don't go away without Christ, just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. Is there someone in this meeting tonight and you say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart? Will you come to Christ, friend? Would you lift that hand right now? Father, mother, son, or daughter, I beg you in God's name. I beg you, give your life to Christ. Receive tonight. Is there one tonight? I come just as I am and waiting not the final invitation. Friend, can I ask you this question? Is your answer no to Jesus? Is that what you're saying? What a tragedy. What a tragedy. As you stand on the vestibule of eternity. May God give you the saving grace right now, just as I am, and willing not. Just as I am. Is there one tonight in the closing second of this meeting? Father, mother, son, or daughter? Young person or older person? Say, preach your appointment to Christ. In God's name, run to Jesus tonight. Just lift up the hand now. Wherever you are. Friend, don't turn away from Christ. I beg you in God's name. O Lamb of God, I come. Heavenly Father, I hand the issue of this mission into thy hands. And oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll not let the sinner walk away, but that, Lord, you'll stop them. Stop them tonight on their mad career to hell and turn them to the cross. Turn them to Jesus. Save them. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're here to help you. There's someone here tonight and you say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart, but I couldn't get my hand up, but I'm concerned and want to speak to you. Brother McKee, I'll gladly open the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. Know you're saved. Be sure you're saved. What an awful tragedy to go away unsaved without Jesus Christ. May God bring you to Himself. Do not walk away, friend. Do not walk away. Don't turn your back on Jesus. May God stop you in mercy, in love. God bless you. Amen.